Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I'm really lonely. I literally just ran across the desk to John's microphone for a dumb joke, which means this is stranger still. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Stranger Still. It's a podcast where we normally answer questions that you've never questioned ask. I'm Nick Wood, and normally with me would be John Began. Today, you might be looking at the title of this episode and be thinking, Stranger Still story time, what is that? Well, John had a family emergency last minute, and I figured when I'm not researching for this podcast, and when I'm not playing video games, and when I'm not doing many other things, I like to tell stories. And I think that sometimes they're good. Some people that know me might disagree, but I figured let's take a break. It's a brand new year, so happy new year, everybody. And I wanted to tell a story that I wrote. It's called The World's Most Perfect Gift, and it invokes a sense of loneliness. It invokes a sense of beginning, and it invokes a certain cynicism that I think is relevant to the climate that we're in today. I know we talk about that a lot, but it's just me. So I'm going to tell you a little story, and I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, I'm sorry. Also, I'm not that sorry. Because normally I have someone sitting across from me that I can look to and he'll finish my sentences when I don't have a joke. But I didn't have a joke, so I just get to sit here and flounder by myself. This feels weird. I'm looking at the microphone where John would normally sit and I just feel lonely. So, without further ado, the world's most perfect gift. His eyes opened up and wandered around the ceiling of the lab for a long time. Slowly and carefully, Karma stepped down to the floor from where he rested. Such a feeble, empty, curious mind. He looked over to the doctor lying lifeless on the table in front of him. Huge machines were hovering over the two tables. One machine looked as if it were just powering down. Karma poked at the doctor once, twice, hoping he would wake up. When the man didn't respond, Karma never gave it a second thought. Karma was the final creation of what many labeled as a mad scientist. He had been cast out from society after his most recent attempt at genocide. Through the doctor's eyes, world domination was an art form. Anyone who saw him make an attempt at it would immediately take him down. He was offended, hurt, and above all, confused by their motives. Of all the trouble and corruption in the world, why should they be concerned about him? Karma was the solution. The key to fixing such a troubled world. He was ugly. Half of his face was salvaged from a dead rabbit. The other half was made up of metal, unused fabric, and spare wires. The body was big and lumpy. His skin was molding and held together by leather stitching. A large humpback towered over the rest of his disproportioned body, setting him off balance. One of his arms was far too heavy and dragged along the floor. His other arm was a tentacle. Every piece of him was garbage, sewn together or bolted down. There was nothing remotely pleasant about this Frankenstein creature, except for his brain. It had everything anyone would want in a brain. He was innocent, kind, loving, and dumb as hell. The doctor had fitted one of his best creations into the cavity of Karma's chest. No one could stop the doctor now, for he had given his own heart for the monster's life. He wanted to live with his last creation, and his own heart was the final piece. Karma spent a long time looking through every corner of the lab. Trinkets were discarded all over the place. Among the doctor's old projects were a few doomsday bombs that never saw their purpose. Karma was just trying to find someone he could talk to. Someone to tell him who he was or what to do. He just didn't want to be alone. A giant door stood at the front of the lab. The lab was nestled at the top of a hill outside the city, as anyone would imagine. Standing at the door, you could see the entire city. It felt like you could see the entire world. Karma found the door. He reached out to touch it, and it was cold, which startled Karma. The door slowly opened, and a slow breeze crept in and brushed Karma's face.
"Light?"
his first words.
"Light and people?"
The world was brilliant. Karma's eyes didn't know quite how to comprehend what he was seeing for the first time. When he stepped out from the lab, he brushed his bare feet along the tall grass. He had to get down on his hands and knees to see what it was. He played with a blade of grass for a while until he picked it from the ground and held it closer to his eyes. He tried to smell it, but there was no smell to be found, except for that for the city's nighttime air, which immediately drew his attention. The wind was climbing up the side of the hill to where Karma stood. He was amazed by the wind, and he stood in it like a dog with its head out the window, accepting its gentleness. The wind was like a dream for him, the softest, most curious thing he had encountered. He stood there for a long time before becoming distracted by the noises of the city below him. Cars honked, people shouted. Some power tools were finishing a job for the day, but Karma had no idea what any of those noises were. He didn't care. It's the lights of the city that attracted him more than anything. They sparkled and gave light to the hillside. It all danced in his eyes. Karma carefully started to walk down a gravel road that led off the hilltop. Another interesting texture, not as soft as the grass. Karma didn't like it, but the thought of people ready to love him was more important. He wanted to see what the city had for him. He got to a paved road and followed the peculiar streetlights hanging overhead into the city. Unknowingly, he started walking through the backyards of people on the outskirts of the city. He broke through a couple fences, every dog he passed barked at him, and a lot of cars honked at him. Someone was pulling their garbage cans in for the night. He glanced up and saw Karma and looked back down at his driveway, not giving it another thought. Karma made it into the main street of the busy town. The city was even more amazing than he thought, which wasn't a lot in the first place. Smells wafted from a nearby restaurant. A couple cars rushed past him, blaring their horns and conjuring such a wind he nearly lost his balance altogether. He wanted more of the delicious scent and followed it to the front of a restaurant. He watched some shadows dance in the candlelight from within the restaurant. A girl was sitting on the step up to the small restaurant. Her mom was still standing in the doorway, talking and laughing with a good-looking man. This little girl had soft red hair tied up in pigtails. She rested her freckled cheeks in the warm palms of her hands. Karma's instincts knew she needed a hug. He walked up to the steps and tapped the girl on the head. She looked up, expecting her mom, but was much happier to see Karma's bunny ear dangling in front of his face. She heartily smiled, showing that her front two teeth were missing. The girl held out her hand for a handshake. Neither of them really knew what to do. As Karma reached out to touch her hand, his big ear brushed across the girl's face. She blushed and laughed as she played with his ear. Her mom paid no attention, for this well-dressed man might be the one. He wasn't sure why, but a strange emotion slid across his heart. It tickled him, and he started laughing with the little girl. The door of the restaurant was closing, and the girl knew it was time to go. "I have to go now," she said shyly. She put her arms up for a hug, and Karma followed her lead. They embraced in a hug, and Karma lifted her off the ground. She giggled.
"What? My baby! You!"
The girl's mother struggled for her words.
"Lily, get over here! What in God's name do you... let go of my baby!"
She was furiously walking down the steps the best she could in heels, with a look on her face that she hoped would kill Karma.
"Mom, he..."
Karma had Lily resting on his tentacle with the other arm holding her securely against his body.
"What the... No, Lily! Yo, I can't even... You need to be... We gotta leave... What the hell is this thing?"
She sputtered as she stole Lily away from Karma.
"He's my friend." "I don't care what he is. We need to get out of here. This thing is... He's dangerous!"
Pain thumped through Karma's heart.
"He's nice!"
The girl struggled out of her mom's arms and landed on the ground. She tried to return to Karma, but her mom quickly grabbed the back of her shirt and started pulling them toward the car.
"We're getting out of here!"
Confused, Karma started walking toward them.
The ground started to swirl underneath Karma's feet. The girl waved at him. It's following us! The mom frantically got her keys out, forced her daughter inside the car, and climbed in after her. She locked the doors. Just be quiet for a second! She hissed as she pulled out her phone to call the cops. Mom, he didn't... I said shut up! So she did. Karma walked over to the door of the car. He took a step back when he saw his own face reflected in the window. When the girl moved closer to the window, he saw his own pain reflected in her face. She put her hand on the window. Karma followed once more, but accidentally broke the car window. The shattering drew the attention of some people from inside the restaurant. He's attacking my car! The mom shouted into her phone. What's going on? A suited man emerged from the restaurant doorway and was rushing toward Karma. Where the hell did I... The mom started digging through her purse, still on the phone with the cops.
Ma'am, what's he doing?
Got it, she said, pulling pepper spray out of her bag. She sprayed it into Karma's eyes. His shouting nearly shattered the windows of the restaurant. His world was instantly turned to black and red. Blood rushed to his head and into his eyes. He was struggling to keep his balance as he fumbled away from the car. You need to hurry up, the mom said as she hung up her phone. The man tried to hold Karma still, but Karma threw him away with ease as he fell to the ground. In a rage, Karma stood up and tried to grab onto the car. The sound of squealing tires ripped through the city as the lady drove off. People were now looking out of apartment windows, store doorways, and the restaurant. Karma fell to the ground once more.
Can I get some help?
The man shouted as he recovered from Karma's powerful throw. A few people turned away scared. Other people came to the man's side, helping him up. What's going on? One person asked him.
I don't...
Karma mumbled. Karma stood up again and blindly rushed toward the sound of them talking and knocked them all to the ground once more. He kept on going and crashed through the front of the restaurant. People started to get up, but were more concentrated on yelling after Karma. His vision was starting to return, but the colors were confusing his poor brain. He tried to dodge a waiter, but ended up bringing a couple's table to the ground. A small group from the street had followed him into the restaurant, shouting, telling people to stop him. He tried to move away from the sound, but at this point everyone was rushing around, screaming and trying to leave. Karma eventually found his way through the kitchen, and ended up in a strange alleyway. The furious group had grown a considerable amount, and was still charging after him. He ran back out into the road and looked around. He could now see everything vividly, but had no time to take pleasure in it. By now, the loud wail of impatient cop cars began ringing through the night air. Strange emotions of pain and hatred urged his feet to get back to the lab. He wanted some comfort. He wanted the familiar gentleness he had felt from the grass and the wind. He wanted to remove himself from the confusion and chaos. Karma was rushing through the middle of the city street. A taxi was rushing down the road and came close to hitting him. With one swing of his tentacle, he hit the side of the taxi. It crashed up onto the sidewalk and knocked over a fire hydrant. Water went bursting into the air. The driver got out to check on his passengers, muttering something about the police. He dialed the police while his passengers followed the crowd of angry people behind Karma. Karma kept going down the middle of the street with red and blue lights blinding him in all directions. The cops had finally caught up to him. He was startled and ended up going through the glass windows of a small store, not realizing the window was there at all. He backed out of the shop and ran into an alley next to the store. Two cop cars pulled up and parked in front of the alley. Two cops, a rookie and an older man, exited one car and slowly walked toward Karma at the end of the alley. Two more cops got out of the other car and held the large crowd back, yelling at the crowd through a bullhorn.
Hands up!
One cop yelled. His dry fingers brushed over the handle of his cold gun. He slowly let a breath out.
What?
Karma muttered with frustration.
Dan, what is he doing?
The rookie asked.
Hug?
Karma responded.
What the hell?
Dan said.
Hands up!
He unbuckled the metal clasp on his gun holster. He cautiously grabbed his gun with one hand, while holding the rookie back with the other.
Easy, Steven.
But you know, you hear...
Unstable.
Insane, Steven tacked on.
Unstable and possibly dangerous.
One of the other cops at the car whispered into the radio.
Calling for assistance.
Possibly dangerous, the other cop asked. He flipped over a car.
Karma took an uneasy step on the moist gravel of the alley toward the two cops. The rookie quickly pulled out his gun and held it out in front of his chest.
Watch yourself.
Karma took another step, holding his hand out. By now, both the cops had their guns pointed directly at Karma. A number of people from nearby apartments joined the crowd, standing in front of the alley. Everyone was confused. Children were scared, and parents were angry.
sound of the old cop's jaw tightening filled the alley. Everyone tried not to move. Karma took another step.
I'm sorry you had to see this, son.
The old cop started firing, and the rookie soon followed. The other two cops held onto their guns in case the need arose. Hot bullets ate through Karma's fragile skin and bounced off a metal cage that protected his heart. When no blood came from the wounds, they only shot more. No pain registered with Karma, only anger. He took large steps toward the two officers and pushed them to the side. He started to run at the other cop cars. When he reached them, he threw them across the street and plowed through the mob of people.
Get him!
The cops yelled after him.
Would somebody stop him?
A woman in the crowd asked. Karma was in full sprint, back up to the lab. It took him a while to find his way back, but when he did, he secured himself inside. Five cop cars arrived in front of the lab soon after, and the people of the city followed him. Karma looked out of one of the windows in the lab as soon as he heard a car moving onto the gravel out front. So many faces, so many emotions, so many scared people. He just wanted to hug them. Tears were starting to form in his eyes, and his heart began to tick. In Karma's chest was a golden cage that held the doctor's heart. It had been forged from an old doomsday bomb that the doctor set to trigger when Karma's heart became overwhelmed by sadness. Blood began rushing to his chest. His heart rate started to slow down. His heart was ready to explode. The doctor saw it as a gift to the world. He wanted the world to open their eyes, to finally see how cruel everyone truly is.
Why?
Karma cried.
Come out with your hands where we can see them!
One bullhorn bellowed.
I don't know.
One cop walked up and knocked on the door. Karma strained his brain, trying not to open the door. The cop knocked again to no answer. He signaled back to the other officers.
This one's hot, he said.
What do we do?
Cuff him before someone gets hurt.
Why?
A child asked. No one answered. The cops, with help from a few citizens, finally got the door knocked down. It didn't take long for them to find him. The ticking was getting louder and louder. His heart was ready to explode. It was ready to create a huge hole in the side of the earth. The doctor's plan was rounding completion, his final, most perfect gift to the world. They put cuffs on Karma the best way they could while tears poured from Karma's beady eyes.
I just wanted.
Karma didn't understand why no one was helping him, why everyone was mad at him. Louder and louder, it pulsed uncontrollably. Karma's sadness grew, and the heart consumed. It was delicious. It wanted more, just a little more. And with more it got, the louder it ticked. Tears strolled down Karma's innocent face, fighting the cops, ticking away, getting closer, ever so closer, wanting nothing more than a warm hug or someone or something as simple as a genuine smile, but instead it was met with fists of anger from the officers and the city's people. It was hurting his ears as he drowned in a sea of sadness. And there you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's been a long time since I've even read that story, let alone out loud. I think I wrote that story 6 years ago, and I didn't realize how relevant it still is. It's kind of creepy. Might be even 7 years ago. I don't know. But I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, like I said, I couldn't care. I'd enjoy this story. It's one of my favorite stories I've ever written. If you missed the educational stuff, I feel like this was educational enough, but hopefully John will be back next week and we can do some fun stuff, some jokes, and happy 2017. Oh, I just realized that's a bad way to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's get all depressed and stuff. Anyway, I feel like I should tell a joke. I'm trying to think of my favorite joke. Have you guys heard about the corduroy pillow that Serta is coming out with? They have kind of been losing out on the mattress game lately with the innovation of Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep systems and sleep number beds. Normal mattresses don't really do anything anymore, so they thought that they would come out with corduroy pillows. If you haven't heard of it, that's kind of surprising because they're making headlines. Woo! Slam dunk. And I can't look over at John and see disappointment.
I'm pretty proud of that one. What's another one I like?
What do vegetarian zombies eat?
Grains.
Get it?
Oh, here's the best one. What's ET short for?
I just thought he had tiny legs.
I crack myself up. Well, I hope everyone had a good holiday. It's good to have a palate cleanser going into 2017. Hopefully this story will serve as a pickled ginger palate cleanser that you might get at a sushi restaurant, but in podcast form. I have no idea what I'm saying. I don't have anyone to keep me in check. I also don't have a script. Normally I have like an outline of things that I want to say, and I'm just ad-libbing here. That's dangerous. I think I've gone on long enough, and if you're still listening to this, I'm incredibly surprised. As always, you can find us on Facebook if you just look for Stranger Still. You can join our group. If you liked this, you should post something in there, because I've always wanted to do a storytelling podcast. And if people like this kind of deal, maybe I will. Maybe I will. Just tell me what you think. We haven't got any reviews on iTunes in a long time, so if you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to go rate and review us on iTunes. You don't even have to leave a review. It's nice if you do. But I'm not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. It is super easy just to go and give us 5 stars. Actually, I don't care how many stars you give us. Just give us some. That'd be nice. And then you can also find us on Twitter, @StrangerStill. John's mostly in charge of that one. And he posts some good stuff on there. Some articles worth reading on different websites. We've also kind of been following Dapple and posting articles about that. And anything pertaining to that, like the Texas pipeline and whatever. And you can always email us at podcast@strangerstillshow.com. Oh, you can go to our website too, strangerstillshow.com, and listen to us. As John mentioned last time, I do like a small little art for each episode that doesn't show up on iTunes or anything like that. It's just some cute stuff. So, oh my god, I've been going on for a long time. Man, I miss John. Anyway, have a good one, guys. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been Stranger Still, Storytime Edition. I don't know why I added Storytime Edition onto that. Whatever. Oh, the music's done? Oh. My producer is telling me that the music has already ended, and this is going in after the music, and he wishes that I would shut up so he can stop recording and go home to see his family that he hasn't seen in 3 months because I've had him locked in my basement. Sorry, Gerald. You know I appreciate you and your hard work. Wow, I need to shut up.